Right. Gracious Father, we pray for thy holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth, in all truth, with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior. Amen. Seated. The church today is in desperate need of renewal. But you may say, where is that renewal coming from? The revitalization of the church begins right here, right now, with you and me. Say, who? Who? Me? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet, son. What can I do? But that's the message that we're hearing in the Old Testament lesson for today, the lesson from Amos. So if you will, turn to Amos chapter 7. Beginning with verse 14. Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Amos was a shepherd in Tekoa. Everybody knows where Tekoa is, right?
George.
It's in Georgia. Tekoa was a very small village. It was just south. Well, Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem, and then Tekoa is just south of Bethlehem. It's out in the sheep country out there, south of Jerusalem. Now, there were prophets in Judah. There were prophets, schools of prophets in Jerusalem. And those who were attending the school of the prophets were called sons of prophets. And so you had multitudes of people who were trained to speak prophetically to the people of God. But Amos said, I'm not a prophet. He's not trained in prophecy. I'm not one of the sons of the prophets. But the Lord called him. The Lord called Amos. Not only was he being called to prophesy, but even more frightening, he was being called to prophesy to the northern kingdom. Now, let me remind you, at that time, which was 800 years before Christ, the kingdom of God was divided. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam came to the throne, and Solomon had been very harsh with the people, and so some of the folks who were in Solomon's court, specifically Jeroboam, who was a servant of Solomon, went before Rehoboam and said, please consider being less harsh than your father, and the people will love you and the people will follow you. And of course, Rehoboam didn't listen. And so Jeroboam took 10 tribes of Israel, and he separated himself and the 10 tribes of Israel from Judah and Benjamin in the south. And so you have the southern kingdom, Judah, and you have the northern kingdom, Israel. Israel was very prosperous. But Jeroboam wanted to make sure they had no reason to go back to Jerusalem, which is required by the law to worship there. And so he set up two temples, two places of worship in the northern kingdom, so the people would have no reason to go to Judah. One was in Dan, which is in the far northern part of Israel, and the other was in Bethel, which is in the southern part of Israel. And Amos was called to go and to prophesy to Jeroboam in Bethel. What a frightening thought. There was an apostate altar. There was an idol that the people were worshiping. And Amos was called to preach against that. God wanted his people to come back to him. And he chose Amos to call them to come home, come back. There were prophets. There were priests in Judah. The Lord could have called on any one of them, but he called on Amos. Let me tell you a little bit about Amos. As I said, he's not trained as a prophet. He was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. He harvested the figs off the sycamore trees. He kept the sheep. But here's what Amos said in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Again, why Amos? Here's where Jack comes in with his word in the sacristy. We're all broken vessels, jars of clay. As St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "But we have this treasure, the light of the glory of God, in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." We're crackpots at best, okay? But the nice thing about a cracked pot is the light that's inside the cracked pot can shine out. Okay. But yes, we're jars of clay. God can use us. And God can reveal his glory through us. Just take a minute and think about all of the biblical characters. Just think of any biblical character, and you will see just how broken all of us really are. Let me give you some examples. God called Moses, all right? And when God met him at the burning bush, what was Moses' first response? "Yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'll go." No. It was, "I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. You can't call me. No, no, no." Or how about David? King David. When Samuel went to David's family to find the successor for Saul, David wasn't even invited. He was out taking care of the sheep. Samuel had to go through all of his brothers first and then go, "Well, is this it?" He was the youngest. He was the smallest. He was the least significant. And he was the one God chose. What about Paul? St. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was out on his way to round up Christians to take them back to Jerusalem that they could be killed. And that's another interesting thing about all three of those I just mentioned. Moses, David, Paul, they were all murderers. Moses murdered an Egyptian before he fled into the wilderness. David arranged for Bathsheba's husband to be killed. And Paul, Paul stood there holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen to make sure that they could do a more efficient job of it. But what about the disciples? Matthew was a tax collector, a despised person in Israel. Thomas doubted that the Lord had risen from the dead. And Peter even denied that he knew the Lord. And all of them were called to be apostles, leaders of the church. Even Mary, the mother of God, she was just a young thing, probably not more than a teenager. And God knew that when he called her, if she said yes, her whole life was going to be turned upside down. She even questioned, how can this be? And of course, Mary Magdalene, she was a prostitute. And God chose her to be a witness to the resurrection of his son. Jeremiah said, I am but a youth. Daniel and his companions were so young and vulnerable. Last week we were singing a song. Here am I, send me. That's by Delirious, isn't it? Delirious. Here am I, send me. That's a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. So there we go. There's somebody who's got it pulled together. Here am I, send me, says Isaiah. But not until after. He says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. But the Lord took care of that. He sent a seraphim to take a hot, burning coal from the cauldron and put it on Isaiah's lips to cleanse him, to prepare him. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say the word with me. All. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God is full of grace. God cleanses. He restores. He heals. He prepares. He equips. And he calls. And he is calling you and me. So again, why Amos? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? The revitalization of the church begins right here, right now, with you and me. The Lord has spoken. And so, how do I know that God is actually saying this to you and to me today? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 1. Do you believe that the word of God, this is the scriptures, do you believe that this is the word of God? What you're holding in your hands, is it the word of God? Is he speaking to you today through that word? Well, hear what he has to say. Make love your aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, he who prophesies speaks to men for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Is there any need for those right now in the church? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and that's not bad. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. God could call a shepherd in Tekoa to bring the people of God back to him. He is fully capable of calling a small congregation on Sweeten Creek Road to bring about the change and revitalization of this church. But how do we do that? Well, it begins with this word that God is speaking to us right here, right now. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire. Think about that. What about a child preparing for his birthday or Christmas? You're going to hear about what they want, yes? Mm-hmm. Because what? They earnestly desire what it is that they want for their birthday. It's your birthday. Earnestly desire it. The Holy Spirit wants to pour out his grace, his mercy, his power, his gifts upon his church. He's just waiting for us to ask. You've got to tune in. It's like a radio. If it's not properly tuned, you're going to get a lot of static. Well, there's a lot of static out there right now. If we're busy listening to what's going on in the world, we're not going to hear the voice of God. We need to take the time to listen to what God is saying, to spend time in his word, but also just to spend time in quiet, listening to what God is saying. He may have very word that we need that he is speaking to you for you to bring to us. Does that make sense? Don't be afraid. Don't sit on a word. Bring it. And you say, well, wait a minute. It might not be right. I've got to make sure. Well, how are you going to make sure it's right if you don't bring it and receive the confirmation from the church? Bring it. Speak it. Do not be afraid to open your mouth and speak the word of God to the people of God. If it is from God, it will be confirmed. If it's not from God, God can wipe it away. God can make it right. God can renew it. You don't need to be afraid. He's God. You're not. I know that's news to some of us, but there you go. So speak. Or if you would prefer, write it down. Bring it to one of the three of us. We'll be glad to vet it for you. Okay? Is this the word of God? Oh, no, he had pizza for dinner last night. Okay. Well, that's okay. You know, it's not going to hurt. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. You don't have to have it all together. God uses broken vessels, as we have seen. God uses cracked pots to shine his light out onto the world. The church is in desperate need of renewal. Where is this renewal going to come from? From you and from me. Because God is calling us to be his prophetic voice in the world right now. The revitalization of the church begins right here, right now, with you and with me. I'm no prophet. I'm not a prophet's son. But the Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Amen.